Stop paying inflated prices for new and used cars. At Volkswagen Clearlake, every new car will be sold for $500 under MSRP during our deflation sale. Plus, we have used cars in every wee budget. Get to Volkswagen Clearlake for deflated prices. Plus, we want your car, so we're willing to pay more than market average for it. Upgrade your ride and save money during our deflation sale. Visit vwofclearlake.com.
Financing through VCI OAC. See dealer for details.
At Kroger, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in-store. So you can save when you order during band practice, or at the dog park, or wherever. Start your cart with the Kroger app and save from wherever today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace.
Okay, we're going to be talking today about having timing in the spirit. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us to understand your timing, grant us revelation, understanding to move when you say move, and to wait when you say wait, and just to walk perfectly in your spirit. And we bind every spirit that come against us in authority. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things to you, Father, and your Son, in Jesus' name. Okay, so timing, that scripture right there, right, talks about timing. This is really important. having this tool, this skill is like really important in warfare. I've seen so many wonderful, you know, brothers and sisters that just had horrible timing. Where their mind and their heart is in the right place, but their timing was like so off and it just did not work. So you really want to be aware of timing. It's just like it says there in Ecclesiastes. You know, there's a time to do things, time to build up, time to break down, okay? The kingdom of God is all about timing. We see this. This is how the entire, you know, scripture works. You know what I mean? There's different things for different seasons and different times. You know, the best example of that is the Old and New Testament, right? You couldn't go back in the Old Testament and talk about grace and the blood of Jesus when Jesus hadn't even, you know, been glorified yet. We don't go now sacrificing, you know, bullocks and lambs, right? No, that would be, oh my goodness, it would be like a huge sin because we have the blood of Jesus. So everything's about timing in the kingdom of God. It's like red light, green light. It's really, 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 really important. Anytime you are in the midst of a battle and you're fighting someone for their salvation, for their deliverance, you're, you know, just warring for someone, you gotta have Holy Ghost timing, okay? Now, this really requires us to crucify our flesh, okay, and humble ourselves and walk in the Spirit. You can't do this without walking in the Spirit. But what you'll find is that when you're in your prayer closet and you're praying for that person, and you're really listening with an open ear. It says those who seek the Lord will be found of him, okay? He will give you instructions, okay? He will give you timing. Okay, now's the time to talk to them. Now's the time to pray for them, okay? Because it literally is like red light, green light. Like you really, the whole thing when you read the Old Testament, you know what I mean? It's just basic sort of, you know, knowledge, right? Anytime you're setting out on a war, you're gonna survey the territory. You're gonna be watching. You're gonna see when these people, you know, if you're going into battle, you know what I mean. You're gonna see when the enemy's the weakest. You're gonna see when it's the best time to attack. Okay, you're gonna see, you know, just it's just what time of the day even. You see this in scripture where he tells them how to go about attacking. The Lord is very specific, okay? And so what you don't want to do is walk in the flesh, because you can be right. See, the thing about it is that, you know, it's not about right versus wrong a lot of times. It's about brokenness versus pride, okay? Because there's a million, I mean, this is all of us, right? God was right the whole time, but we didn't get saved until he broke our pride, right? So in a battle, you can know exactly what's going to deliver someone, what's going to set them free. You can see exactly what to do, right? But if you're not walking in God's timing and he hasn't broken up the fallow ground of their heart yet, well, then it's just going to fall on deaf ears. And you actually can even fall into the instance of casting your pearls before swine, which is, we don't want to do that, okay? Because then you're giving someone who's either unsaved or in rebellion, you know, in disobedience to God, maybe they are saved, but they're struggling with something. You're giving them, you know, credence. You're throwing pearls, the wisdom of the Lord, right before them and letting them trample upon it. We don't do this. What God gives us is precious, okay? So basically, the key with timing is, the only way you're going to know is prayer, okay? That's why that's part of the warfare in Ephesians 6, right? He says continual prayer, praying continually, right? Just praying and listening to the Lord and understanding that in almost every battle I've ever been in, okay, there has been a season of prayer before there's been a season of action, okay? A lot of times the Lord will just have me back off, and he's like, you need to just keep praying for them. He'll give me a very specific prayer to pray for them. And then at an appointed time, I'll say, go and either do this or go and say this, okay? Whatever it is, there'll be an actual action that he wants me to take. But almost consistently, there's been rare instances where he has me just do something, but almost consistently, it's been a season of prayer prior to doing anything. And then I literally sit there and just listen for the green light to get up and go, and now I'm doing something that he wants me to do, okay? Because the problem is, a lot of Christians I see that have the right intentions, and they've got the right, they're absolutely correct about something, okay? But that's not what matters, because if someone can't receive it, they're not going to hear you, okay? They're not broken yet. And so what happens is they may have the wisdom, but they're going about it in the flesh. And fighting a spiritual battle in the flesh is like fighting an atom bomb with sticks and stones. You know what I mean? There's somebody's throwing an atom bomb at you, and you're going to respond with, you know, throwing a couple of rocks at them. It's just not going to work. It's two totally different battlefields, two totally different warfares. But that's what happens when we go about things in the flesh. We go, you know, I'm going to go tell them this, but you're walking, even if it is true, even if it is biblical, I'm going to go tell them this, right? We've all had that moment when we look back in our past, maybe even right now, hopefully, you know what I mean? This can be helpful. And you realize, oh my gosh, I was just totally, it was true what I was saying, but it was irrelevant because it was carnal the way I was going about it. I was fighting in the flesh. I was leaning on to my own wisdom, right? So that's why it's so important to walk in the Spirit in these battles, okay? Because what I've seen, and this is absolutely true, is there were times where I just could tell somebody something a million times. Probably did, not a million times, but sure, a whole lot I told them. And what I said was biblical, it was true, it was correct, but it was a losing battle. I just kept losing. I wasn't winning anything. You know what I mean? I was getting nowhere. And the reason why, I was walking in the flesh, okay? So then the Lord taught me to be quiet and pray, okay? And I did. I listened, and it was for a season, okay? Sometimes it was months, sometimes even years, okay? There's certain people. And so I did. I was quiet, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then he goes and has me say, like, literally, like, one sentence, and the person receives it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I spent how long repeating myself with this person? But yet, after, you know, just doing this red light, green light, you know, with the Lord, just listening to his instructions, his timing, like it says in Ecclesiastes, after sowing, you know, seeds in prayer, you know what I mean? And then I get up and I move when he says move, and I actually speak to this person just one sentence, and it's like, boom, it's over. Why? Because it's his battle. That's how David won the battle, right? I wouldn't be surprised if all Israel were to step out on the field. That's what he says. He says this actually in the book of Leviticus, the very end. If all of Israel stepped out to fight Goliath without faith, they could have lost. But one soldier, David, goes in faith and under the subjection of the Holy Ghost and wins. He says this, right? He says this. He says that if you are in obedience, you know what I mean? He's like, I can't remember exactly. I'll put the scripture at the bottom. But he said it's something like five of you will chase 10,000 away, right? But if you're in disobedience, you know, he talks about how you go into a battle and you lose every single time. We see this in the book of Numbers, right? They win battles over and over again when Moses, you know, tells them to fight and they're in obedience. But when after the spies came into the land and they gave him a bad report and all the people, you know, were told and they lacked faith, the Lord said, it's done. They went out to fight. They're like, no, we can do it now. And they lost horribly. Same thing, you know, with Achan. They had sin in the camp. They go out to fight. They lose that battle. So all victory comes through the Lord. And that's what's happening, right? That's what was happening with me, is I was going out in the flesh, not in faith, right? Not walking in the spirit, going out in the flesh, even though it was true, same, you know, everything, you know what I mean? But I was walking in the flesh and I was losing that battle. I would sit there and talk to the person over again. And not only would it not get through, but sometimes it would even start arguments and strifes and argue, you know, it just wasn't fruitful. But I walk according to the Holy Ghost in faith, right? Quietly in prayer for a while. Then I step out and say one sentence and boom, the battle's over. That's how we got to fight. Okay. So that's really a key element to winning, is timing. Now, knowing that timing is important and being able to walk according to the Lord's timing is two different things, right? So hopefully I can give you some knowledge that can help you do this. Scripture says that my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? Having understanding is important to being able to do the things, you know, and help equip the body of Christ, right? So number one, we can have the truth, right? But if we're walking in the flesh, okay, the flesh loves to twist things. So you can have the truth, but if your flesh, you can look at it sort of like you've got the word of the truth, like a sword. But if you have, you know, this sword in your hand, a weapon, right, that's in a person's wrong hands can be dangerous. So you see this all the time with Christians, right? You've got the truth, you got the sword, but in the hands of the flesh, it's going to be used to chop the person down, to hurt them, and to actually slow the process down, okay? Because now this person's got to heal and recover from what you did. Whereas when it's in the hands of the Holy Ghost, it will chop down the demonic powers around that person, okay? And I've seen this happen, because the flesh, when the flesh has the truth, it loves to get lifted up in pride, right? And then beat people up with the truth and exalt itself. We can all look back when we were young Christians at times when we've done this, you know what I mean? Where it was like, I know the truth and you're wrong. Now I'm going to beat you over the head with it and make you feel bad, okay? And make you feel like you're the worst sinner in the world with the truth. You know what I mean? Because that's the nature of the flesh. It's puffed up. It loves to exalt itself. So it just beats people up. And as a result, what ends up happening is when the flesh gets a hold of the truth, it actually will slow things down. Because now the Lord's got to go in there and mend the mistake that was made. You understand what I'm saying? So this will actually hinder progress. Okay, really important. You want the truth to be in the hands of the Holy Ghost. And you want the Holy Ghost to be the one that's using it, because the Holy Ghost will use it, obviously, skillfully, and attack only the enemies of God and not the actual soul that the Holy Spirit is looking to either save, deliver, encourage, strengthen, whatever it is he's trying to do. So that's why it's real important not to walk in the flesh, okay? Because you can actually slow the process down, even if it is the truth. Even if it is the truth. And then also understanding timing and according to the Word of God is that I think the best example of this is Jonah, okay? You have prophets in the Old Testament who have beautiful speeches, long eloquence. You know, people quote it all the time. You know what I mean? Beautiful speeches. Okay. Jonah, not one of them. Okay. My husband and I were like, you know, it was really funny, because it was a real eye opener. We're reading that book one day, and it was just like, Jonah just basically walks in to Nineveh, says 40 days, sackcloth and ashes, repent. That's it. That's it. That's all he says. He gets the whole nation to repent. It's amazing. Okay. The whole nation to repent. that. And when you look at what Jonah said, it wasn't anything remarkable or, you know what I mean? Nobody really quotes that, you know what I mean? Because it's not really, you know, but what happened was, okay, is timing. See, Jonah didn't know, I heard this at a Bible conference, that they had, I guess, historical records, that Nineveh had suffered from several floods prior to Jonah showing up, and like solar eclipses, and just all these signs and wonders in like the heavens and in the earth. And to them, they knew that this was impending doom. So basically what happened was, is before Jonah shows up on the scene, the Lord had already broken up the fallow ground of their hearts. He had been working on them for a long time. So even though the battle looked impossible, right, and Jonah's terrified because they're enemies, and he's just one person, he's walking in, he's like, I'm going to get killed. He didn't know, possibly, I don't know, but just according to these, you know, these records, it's like Nineveh had gone through so much, and Jonah just had to go in and deliver a word, and then boom, they received it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this is, you know, once again, you know, he says, my people perish according for lack of knowledge. So have knowledge, have understanding on this. Know that if the Lord has you praying for a while, okay, or doing something that looks like it's nothing for a while, okay, and you feel like I'm not doing anything, okay, understand that God is doing something. God is working on something. And that's why it's so important to walk according to his timing. Because when he says, right, when he says go, and your light's green, he's like, say this, do that, you're walking into a preset situation where things have been set up already for you, okay, when you're walking in the Holy Ghost. And you're just there, boom, to deliver a message. And it's like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. Do you know what I mean? It's like you have no idea the weight that the Lord has been putting on this person, you know what I mean, to break them so they'll receive the truth. And then boom, you just lay that final thing on there, and it's just like, bam, they just collapse and they receive the truth. You know, it's like it says in scripture, whoever falls upon this stone will be broken, whoever it falls upon. So it's the same principle, you know what I mean? When the Holy Ghost and the Lord's working on someone and he's breaking them, okay, so they will receive the truth, okay? Your job is just to go in and deliver a message for the Lord, okay? And that's why you got to walk in the Spirit according, you got being prayed up. You can really only do this, I've only seen this be done through prayer. You know, you're waiting and you're praying and you're listening. You understand what I'm saying? However, it is important also to understand that sometimes you are walking according to the Spirit and you are obedient and you're doing it according to his timing, and sometimes it won't be received and you won't see, you know, the victory that you expected. Understand sometimes it's all according to God's will and timing. So sometimes there's a lot the Lord can be doing with, you know, you telling someone the truth or you delivering a message or doing something. You know, I've had it where he's had me give someone a piece of clothing, just a very specific piece of clothing, you know what I mean? And it really touched that person and it surprised me. It's just, you just never know what the Lord will have. Got to be open and you got to discern the spirits, of course. He's not going to tell you to do anything that's, you got to walk according to the Spirit. But sometimes it's not received. And what I've seen in these cases, both I've seen this actually happen, and then I've also, or I didn't see it for myself, but the Holy Spirit explained it to me later on. Sometimes he's planting a seed that he, a lot of times, is going to use somebody else, use for someone else to then, you know, reap that. They're going to see that blossom. You know what I mean? He's doing something. He's planting something in their mind that he's going to use continually. Okay, over and over again. And then until they're broken, and then he's going to use it at that point. So we just never know what he's doing. It's all according to his will and timing. So just want to just reaffirm that sometimes you are walking according to the Spirit. You are doing exactly what he said. You have died to self, but they don't receive it. And sometimes that's because he's going to use it later on, okay, down the line. Now, regarding Jonah, we see an example of when that pinpoint timing was just perfect. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you're walking in the Lord's timing and according to the Spirit, that it's always going to happen that way. I don't want to mislead anybody. It definitely is key to bringing that victory if that is the preset situation in the Spirit. But the thing is that we see, you know, the prophets, right? They were in God's timing, right? I think it was Ezekiel, the Lord warned him. He said, the people are not going to hear you. you know, they're hard and rebellious, but go anyways. Okay. And so obviously Ezekiel was in God's, I think it was Ezekiel, one of the major prophets, either Jonah, I'm sorry, Jeremiah or Isaiah or, Ezekiel. I'll put the scripture at the bottom, but one of them, he tells them, he warns them, they're not going to listen to you, but go anyways. Okay. And we see in that, that the time was not then because their hearts were already so hardened, right? But with the remnant, he used that as a testimony, right? The remnant learned from what he had told those prophets, okay? And then us too, obviously, right? We look back and we read the scriptures and it strengthens us. So he uses it at later times, and you'll see this sometimes. You'll go and tell someone something and they don't want to hear it at that point, but it's used later on or for something else, okay? Each situation is different, okay? But the key is to just be, you know, walking in the Spirit so that we can be following the Lord's timing. And then when it comes to timing, be prepared at times to be quiet. Scripture says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. It's a proverb. And there's so much, if you read the book of Proverbs, about controlling our tongues. There is a very specific time when the Holy Spirit's leading you to speak and when the flesh is leading you to speak. And ideally, we want to just speak. It takes time, you know, to learn this. But ideally, we really just want to talk when the Holy Spirit is speaking. I mean, I really want to be Him, be His vessel, and not necessarily, you know, just talk in our own understanding. I really want to be led of the Spirit when we're letting Him be, you know, the governor of our tongue. Because when it comes to timing, which you'll find some, I'll share my testimony. What I found a lot of times is there's seasons of quietness, real quietness. The Lord has led me to, because I used to be sort of like a nervous talker, I guess you could say. I would just talk a lot of times just because silence made me uncomfortable. And So I was one of those people that would just kind of ramble. And after I got saved, you know, one of the things the Lord did me is he actually made me a pretty quiet person. And I, it's funny because I guess I'm talking so much on the podcast. It's probably hard to tell. But he did, though. He made me a very quiet person. And he taught me, you know, just to really govern my tongue and to have... just to really speak when the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. And now, of course, you know, there's things that we talk about that, you know, are practical that we have to deal with from time to time. But the majority of the time, when we're talking about timing and warfare, just being quiet with people, you know, and backing off for a while. Because what I've seen is that when I don't, there's quite a shift from that nervous talking all the time, just because I just, you know, kind of didn't just, it was just a, it's a, like a general uneasiness, you know, sort of, I would just ramble on just to make people comfortable, make myself comfortable, I guess, I don't know. And, what I found was that, when the Lord led me to be quiet combined with timing, right? Speaking when He gives me a word to say, right? Walking in the, Spirit was that all of a sudden people who kind of didn't really pay attention, wouldn't really take what I said seriously before, all of a sudden are listening and they're paying attention. We see this with Jesus. He backs off and is sort of invisible a lot in certain scriptures. It's like at the wedding, you know, he's just kind of sitting in the back when he turns the water into wine, you know, and his mother comes over and he says, you know, what do I have to do with you? It's not my time, you know, it's not my time, right? It's what Jesus says, okay? It's not the time yet, okay? You see this with the Lord, you know. Elijah is another good example. You know, he's backed off, not saying anything. He's hidden from the, you know, the king. Ahab is looking for him. And then all of a sudden, when the Lord gives him utterance, it's time. Now he shows up on the scene, you know, and he's talking, you know. And he goes and has something to say to Ahab that will advance, you know, the Lord's kingdom. And he deals with all these prophets of Baal. So understanding that timing and taming the tongue, they go hand in hand. And understanding that there is these times of just quietness sometimes that the Lord will lead you to, okay? But it's a challenge because you're really going to have to crucify your flesh if you do struggle with that, which is being quiet and sort of talking to talk. Because I see this. I see a lot of really wonderful brothers and sisters, but they just kind of talk. I don't want to be hurtful or anything like that, but you can see when you're, you know, through the Spirit that they're just talking to talk. And before long, they're saying things they shouldn't be saying. And they're just sort of, it's just the scripture's true. And the multitude of words are wanteth not sin. When we're just talking to talk, or we're talking out of the wrong spirit, we're talking out of our flesh, we're talking out of nervousness, we're talking because we're uncomfortable, you know, whatever. Before long, we're saying something that we shouldn't be saying as Christians. Something that's not really the best for our testimony. Not that it's necessarily out and out sinful, but it just, it before long, it's just, you can see, if you've ever seen this or if you struggle this with yourself, you'll look back and be like, gosh, why did I say that? Jeez. You know, that really wasn't, there's no purpose to that. Oh my goodness, now this person knows this about me, you know, and knows that. And I really don't know if that's really good for my testimony. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like that. You know, it's like these things come out, you know, when we are, we're not crucifying this, you know, and taming our tongue. And before long, it's just like there's something, and it's not necessarily bad, like we're saying anything wrong to a person or hurtful, but it's just sort of like information that doesn't really need to be shared, you know what I mean? And may even hinder a person's testimony. Stuff that is, it's just not necessary to say, you know what I mean? Or just things that sort of, just hinder a person's testimony. I mean, I hope I'm explaining that well, because you can see this, and I know I've done this before in the past, and the Lord had to really teach me to bring my tongue, you know, under subjection to the Holy Spirit, you know, to where when I'm talking, it really is, it's very mindful. I'm thinking about the things that I'm saying. I'm never just talking to talk, and it's always in the goal of advancing the kingdom of God. So, that goes hand in hand in timing. It's just absolutely necessary to crucify the flesh in order to have that sort of Holy Ghost timing, because the flesh will always try and get you to say something that's not, either it's sinful and it's hurtful and it's, you know, sort of the spirit of strife, or it's just ridiculous. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, something that's like reviling or strife or something like that. You know, sometimes it just will be just utter nonsense. And you're like, why was I talking about that? And it's not necessarily that it's, you know, this like wicked thing that you said, but it hinders your testimony, because the person walks away, you know, and the Lord still will use things. Okay. But they walk away and they don't really, you know, if something that's of the spirit gets mixed in with all this other stuff that's not, you know, it's the flesh speaking, you know, it just doesn't necessarily possibly carry the same weight that it would if all the other, you know, gibberish, you know, sort of was eliminated. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pray I'm explaining that well. If it was just when the Holy Spirit was speaking and it was just when the Lord was leading you to say something to somebody, you know, and you're trying to win them to the Lord, and all this other sort of stuff was removed, then it would just sort of pinpoint it. And anyways, I pray I'm explaining that well. And another aspect of timing is when a person's eyes are opened, okay? An example of this is Elisha with his servant, when he's like freaking out because Israel is surrounded with, I think it's Syria. But they're coming to attack, and he's freaking out and he's afraid. And then Elisha prays for his servant and says, Lord, open his eyes and let him see that, you know, because greater is are those that are with us than them. And then all of a sudden, his eyes are open and he sees this whole host of angels and chariots surrounding Jerusalem. Okay, another example of this is when Jesus asks Peter, "Who am I?" And he says, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ," you know. And he says, you know, "Blessed are thou, Peter," he said, "because, you know, man hath not revealed this to you, but God." Okay, so a lot of times what both I've done myself, and the Lord has helped me to understand this, and I see other sisters doing, is they've got the truth and they're trying to explain someone and help someone because they're struggling or something's going on, but God has not opened their eyes to this truth yet, okay? And it's just not going to happen until the Lord opens their eyes, okay? And so this is really key with timing, okay? Because you're ahead of the Holy Ghost. You're ahead of the Holy Spirit's timing, okay? He has not revealed this. He hasn't opened this person's eyes to this truth yet. And so what you got to do is walk in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit will lead you more than likely to back off, okay? Or at least this is what the Holy Ghost has done with me, led me to back off. Doesn't mean you don't tell the truth, okay? He may sort of lead you to speak the truth in a limited measure, okay, and then back off. And this is what I've seen him do. I'll just share my testimony. He did have me speak the truth, but very limited, okay, just a little bit, and then back off and pray for a while and fast for this person's eyes to be opened. And then once their eyes were opened, then go back and then explain more fully to them to help them sort of, you know, in whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's working with them on. Because from what I understand, the Holy Spirit was sort of prepping the groundwork. Because see, the Lord, Holy Spirit, see, the Lord works with words. Okay, it says the Word became flesh. Okay, we use scriptures. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, scripture says. So the Lord, he can do anything, but he likes to work with words, okay? So sometimes he'll give you a word, and this word is sort of like a seed, okay, that's being planted. And then he's going to give it to the person and break up the fallow ground of their heart and then let it kind of take root, okay? It's just sort of like a prep. Like, it's basically, from what I understand, the Holy Spirit, I've seen the Holy Spirit use the word. It's not that they'll receive it at that given point in time. Because sometimes I'm seeing this where the Lord has told me to speak something or say something, and it looks like it just fell on deaf ears, and it did, okay? And I was like, was I disobedient? Was that not what you wanted me to do, Lord? I understand. But once again, it's all about timing. He had me give this word to a person, say something, right? They didn't want to hear it. Their ears were plugged. But what happens is he goes back in, either breaks up the fallow ground of their heart, right? Or opens their eyes, and he'll use what was said prior to just bring more clarity and light to the situation, okay? And then they'll go, oh, you know what I mean? The Holy Spirit will just sort of use this. And then that's what Scripture says. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance, okay, the things that Jesus said, okay? You see this with Scripture, okay? You heard it before, but all of a sudden, boom, the lights are shined on it, right? And the Lord uses it when you're in a situation. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit uses one of his servants to speak, okay, and it truly is of the Holy Spirit. It's not the flesh talking, but truly is something that the Holy Spirit is, you know, commanding a person to say to another believer. And so it really is, you know, of the Spirit. Then that person, even though they may not receive it at that time, later on, once their eyes are open or they're more broken, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's done work, he'll bring that to remembrance for the person so that they have clarity and it can shine light on their situation so they can see what they're supposed to do, what's going wrong more clearly, okay? Because they've got an actual, word that was spoken to them. And then it'll take root. Then they'll receive it, whatever it is, okay? So it's really key to understand that this timing is essential. So, and like, once again, it's just red light, green light with the Holy Spirit, really bringing ourselves under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Speak when he says speak. When he says don't speak, don't speak. Because he may have you speak just a portion, okay, like that. And then he's going to use it later on to deal with them. And then when they're ready, you can go back, or somebody else will, whoever, whatever the Lord's using, to really clear things up and help them along to see things more clearly. This is especially key if someone's in false religion, okay? All right? Religious spirits, spirits of certain religions are very strong, okay? They're very, very, very strong. And I just know this from my own testimony. I did not understand. I was raised Catholic, and I did not get it. After I got saved, people would come and talk to me about it, but my eyes had not been opened to Catholicism yet. Okay? And all of a sudden, one day I was sitting in Mass. I had gotten saved, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord. I was finally reaching that point of brokenness, right? Okay? Because I was hard-hearted. I didn't want to hear what people had to tell me about Catholicism because I just didn't want to hear it. I was hard-hearted. And then finally, my heart was soft, okay? And I said, Lord, what is this? What's the big deal with Catholicism? I don't get it, you know? And I'm sitting in Mass one day, and all of a sudden, boom, my eyes are opened, okay? It was just something of God, something of the Spirit. Nobody could do that. The Lord had to open my eyes, okay? I'm pretty sure there are people praying for me, okay, to have a revelation, have my eyes open. But all of a sudden, it was just like I could not see anything, and then all of a sudden I could see. Because I was raised in a Catholic church. I'm talking about, started going to Catholic school when I was in like second grade. And then I graduated from a Catholic school. So that's like, I don't know how many years, 4 plus 10 years or something. I don't know, bad at math. But anyways, okay, same church that I went all through grammar school, all through high school in, okay? And it was just this place that was where it was Mass and everything. And I didn't, you know, I was just used to it. Went to the same church, okay, after I had gotten saved and after I had, you know, asked the Lord to open my eyes. Someone was having a ceremony there. And I'm sitting in the same pulpit, the same, seat that, like, I had grown up in. And all of a sudden, I could see Catholicism and what it was. And it was like I was watching pornography is the only way I could explain it. All the idols and all of the just rituals and everything, especially the spirit that they call Mary, just left me with this disgusting feeling inside. Like I need to go home and like take a shower. Left in the middle of the ceremony, could never go back to that place again. Okay. And from the scriptures, I understood why, because the Lord calls idolatry, spiritual adultery, right? Spiritual fornication. Okay. And especially with Mary, they call her the Queen of Heaven. And this is the same Queen of Heaven in the book of Jeremiah that they're making cakes to, and the idol that they're worshiping that Jeremiah deals with them about. And sometimes it even seems that Satan's like openly trying to mock God, you know, where he's got people in front of him, you know, proclaiming, you know, to be Christians, literally calling her by the same name, you know, it's the same name, Queen of Heaven, as in the book of Jeremiah, you know. So when I found these things out by God's grace, I was so thankful and, you know, definitely put all that far away from me. Because we're the bride of Christ. We are spiritually married right to Christ. So we don't go and worship false gods. Now, many Catholics don't know this, okay? But all these idols, all these statues, okay? And all these spirits that dwell in there and all the rituals, okay? And all these things, these are real spirits, okay? Real spirits that are bringing people blindly. They don't know. Some maybe do, but most of the lower level, you know, people that are just Catholic, they don't know that all these saints they're praying to, all these, you know, people that they're talking to are idols, and they're actual spirits, okay, that are seducing people who think they're worshiping Christ into false god worship. These are gods. These are real things. These are real spirits, okay? If you look back into the history of Catholicism, you'll see that they just merged a lot of the pagan gods and gave them, you know, names of believers that had died. Okay, but Scripture commands us what? Not to pray to the dead, right? not to bow a knee before any graven image, all these sorts of things, okay? So, anyways, I'm getting off the subject here. I could not receive it. I didn't understand. People would try to tell me so much before, but I just thought that they hated Catholics. My ears were plugged. I couldn't see, you know? When the Lord opens my eyes and boom, it's a finished work. Done. That's why it's important to back off and be walking in the spirit, because nobody could open my eyes to that. And if you are dealing with someone who's involved in a false religion, it really is, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, but I've seen a lot of victory with fasting and prayer, because those spirits are much stronger, okay? They are much stronger, okay, than your basic little nuisances of, like, deceiving spirits. Like, when it comes to religion, like, you're talking about a higher ranking fallen spirit, okay? So they're a bit more powerful, okay? And so you really want to really humble yourself before the Lord, because just talking to someone can actually be counterproductive, okay? If it's not led of the Spirit, okay? It's just sort of like when you are talking to someone, they want to receive it, then they'll listen, they'll receive it, and they'll grow in the Spirit, and it'll be a blessing. But if their eyes have not been opened, you can actually cause them to sort of dig their feet in deeper and stand more firm on it. Okay, and you don't want to do that, because you can actually slow down the process. This is why Jesus says that you must take up your cross daily to follow him, because you will see time and time again that your flesh will try and get ahead of the Holy Ghost over and over again, okay? And try and sort of take the bull by the horns and take the lead. We have to really crucify our flesh daily and walk in the Spirit to be able to walk according to God's timing, because the flesh will always try and get in the way. It'll always try and get in the way. It'll try and get you angry so that you start to defend yourself or to stand up for yourself, right? And then who are you serving? Yourself, right? You're not serving God's kingdom. And then, boom, get in the way of a work that the Lord is doing. I mean, it's just the truth. The Lord says, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. So if you're not walking in the Spirit and crucifying your flesh daily, then you're walking in the flesh and actually getting, you know, sort of hindering the progress of God. He always brings the victory. God is always going to win, but we don't want to be in opposition to the kingdom of God. We want to be completely on God's side, right? So that's why he says you must crucify your flesh daily. We have to die to self daily and get this flesh behind us and just put it underneath our foot, because it will always try and get ahead of the Holy Spirit, always. Or stop the Holy Spirit and slow it down. When the Holy Spirit is telling you to speak, it'll try and make you afraid so that you don't. It's just ridiculous. This flesh is, ugh. Gotta kill it daily until we get home and we're set free from it eternally. And then another good example of this sort of timing is the walls at Jericho, right? The Lord gives very specific instructions for how many times they're supposed to go around the walls of Jericho, when exactly and precisely to blow the trumpet. And then when they blow the trumpet at that precise moment, then the walls come crashing down. So, you know, once again, the same things that took place in the Old Testament are taking place now, but it's in the Spirit. In the Old Testament, it's the flesh, now it's in the Spirit. So this same sort of concept when it comes to timing and having that perfect timing with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, which is exactly what they're doing. That's a wonderful example for us, how they're walking literally around Jericho, right, in the Spirit, and then, right, boom, at the appointed time, you know, they blow the trumpet, and then the walls come crashing down, and you see this victory. It's the same thing that takes place now in the Spirit, and that's what you'll see when you're walking in the Spirit, and you get this major breakthrough. Lord say, go do this, you know, pray for a while, fast for a while, now go talk, send this scripture, you know, whatever it is, give this to this person, you know, call this person, whatever it is, then boom, you do it, and you see this breakthrough. It's the same thing. It's these walls coming crashing down. And that when we're walking in the Lord's timing. And then scripture says that towards the end, that if the days had not been shortened, then all flesh would perish, I think the word says. So there's like this, the shortening of the time. You see this, where the days are numbered. Okay, you know, 1,260 days, 1,335 days. There's a lot of debate about how long it'll last, 3.5 years to 7 years. But it's short. The time is limited, right? He's going to let it prolong. But then also, too, what you may already be seeing is a acceleration of things. I'm not sure exactly why this happens, but it's possible that you talk to people and they can see it. Just rapid changes, okay? I remember I went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I was raised in Southern California. So when I went back there, it was really odd because I had only been gone, I think, for like a year. And this is before the Lord opened my eyes to everything. And all I noticed was that just, like, I wasn't aware of the rising of the beast system and, like, the New World Order. But I could just see that things were, like, changed really fast. Iniquity will abound. And boy, was it. Like, I was just looking around and I was like, things just became increasingly sinful very quickly. And I couldn't really understand because I I was like, is it just me? Maybe I had changed. Because sometimes it happens. You change and then your perspective changes on things. But then, you know, I got into the scriptures and saw that things progress more quickly. And you can see this with alchemy. Anyways, because I think most believers are aware that technology is getting weird. that's my newborn. Technology is getting really bizarre. You know, it's becoming like a religion. And so I think most of us can see in the spirit that it's not. Scripture says that in the book of Ecclesiastes that there's no new thing under the sun. What was will be again. And a lot of believers believe that this type of technology was what was taking place prior to the flood. I don't know, okay? But I do know Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. And it's very bizarre how all of a sudden, towards the end here, because according to Scripture, pretty much after Jesus came and died for our sins and was raised from the dead, that started the clock to the end of the world. Because that's why a lot of people will say, well, you know, the apostles were talking about the return, but it didn't happen. Well, the thing is that when you look at the bigger picture in the history of the world, Jesus's death and resurrection began the beginning of the end. It was that started the clock. So that's why all of his church is supposed to be looking for his return from that point forward. This is Hebrews 9:26. It says, "For he must often have suffered since the foundations of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And this is Hebrews referring to Jesus Christ. So Jesus's death and resurrection marks the beginning of the end. So the apostles were absolutely, of course, you know, they're apostles. So the apostles, of course, they're correct. All the saints prior to us that had been looking for the return of Jesus Christ, they were correct. That's what we were commanded to do, was to watch, right? Because a lot of people will use it to mock, just like Scripture says that they will in the book of Peter. Everybody's been watching and, you know, he hasn't come back. People have been saying this forever, you know, sort of mocking, and Scripture says that they're going to do that in the book of Peter. But those are obedient Christians. They're supposed to be watching. From the second that Jesus Christ was, ascended into heaven, from that point forward, the whole body of Christ is supposed to be watching for his return, because that's it. That starts the clock towards the end. Okay. But there are certain measures, certain things that have to happen before his return from Scripture: great falling away, revealing of the Antichrist, Antichrist going into the temple, like he says in the book of Daniel. These sorts of things have to happen, and they haven't happened yet. But I'm sorry, I'm getting off of the subject here. But when you look at time, in the end times, you see that we have all of a sudden, right? It's really bizarre. Sort of just this normal progression of things, right? And then all of a sudden, within the past like 100 years, technology just explodes, right? Kind of odd, right? Like nobody prior to this last 100 years had the intelligence to come up with what, you know, the beginning of technology, you know, which begins with like, you know, the Industrial Revolution, and then from that leads to computers, and then so on and so forth. Like nobody came up with that, right? It's a little suspicious, right? Nobody was smart enough to think of that before, right? And then all of a sudden, technology is getting kind of weird, right? People trying to, I think it's Ray Kurzweil talks about people being able to upload themselves into the internet spiritually. I'm sorry, not spiritually, but their consciousness is what they call it, right? Really odd, right? If you were to show, you know, I mean, I think that most believers, when they really think about stuff, for example, how I could be sitting here, right, in one part of the globe, and be looking at and talking to a person on the other side of the globe, right? Like, really weird, when you really think about it, right? I'm not saying these things are a sin, okay? But, just to be aware of these things, you know, to be aware of what's going on, you know, and walking in the spirit, you know, and, you know, there's a lot that people do with the internet for the gospel, you know what I mean? But, you know, I pray about this all the time. Is there going to be a time where the Lord just says, walk away from it? I pray that I'm obedient. You know, I don't know, okay? I know that I'm not getting that from him right now. Right? Something weird about it. And it's really bizarre how, as we're winding down towards the end times, that this stuff is just magically happened. Like we've all just magically become more intelligent, right? Well, what sort of the mainstream thought on that is that it's evolution, right? We're just naturally becoming smarter, right? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is obviously fulfillment of prophecy, right? And if you look, actually, you get into the history with a lot of these people who have these major technological breakthroughs, right? There's always some sort of moment with a lot of them. There was, I think her name is Katherine Albrecht, did research on this. There's always this magical moment where they have this connection with the spiritual world. I think it's, what's his name? Steve Jobs. Prior to his, like, breakthrough with Mac, from what I understand, I haven't researched this myself, but this is what I believe it was, I heard in a speech by Katherine Albrecht. Prior to his breakthrough with Mac, for example, he called out, he had, like, a near-death experience and called out to, like, the Hindu gods that if they delivered him, right, that that he would, you know, whatever, help them or something like that, you know. And you see this odd, like, that's what she did, was research on this, where you see sort of this odd, like, with every person that has this, like, breakthrough, there's this odd connection or this story in their past where they sort of made this connection with the spirit realm. And once again, I'm not sure about, like, if all that's completely accurate, because this is secondhand information, and also I may not even be quoting the facts correctly, of course, so please don't quote me on that or anything, because I saw this speech by her a couple of years ago, I think it was. But you can discern by the fruit, you know, you can see that there's something spiritual going on if the end game is people trying to inherit eternal life through technology. There's something, obviously, you know, spiritual going on there. When we see the things rapidly increasing, you see the same thing with technology. It's like moving faster and faster and something more and more spiritual. People trying to open up stargates and strange things like that. We know in the spirit what this stuff is and where it's headed. We know what's going on, you know. people trying to merge with machines, becoming transhumanism, if that's the name of it. All these sorts of things. It's happening faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. It's like starting, like a slow spinning, and then faster, 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 faster. Now, I don't know what this means for us in the body of Christ, but it is possible. I know with myself, there is more of a sense of urgency when it comes to timing. Walking in the Spirit and being obedient to His leading, okay? But also being aware that things are changing, and so as they change, we want to make sure that we're really being obedient, because we really don't know how much time we have. We really don't, for certain anyways. We'll know according to the signs of the times, right? When these things happen, let's see, the abomination of desolation, things like that. But we need to be aware that these days in the end are numbered. And so we just really want to be walking in the Spirit, because when it comes to timing, people may think that they have more time than they do. Not to make anybody afraid, or not to say that we should rush things. We should walk in the Spirit always. But if the Spirit is bringing about a sense of urgency, okay, prompting you deep within your spirit that you really need to get on something, you really need to be obedient, you really need to crucify this, and possibly it's been years that you've been struggling with something, and haven't really made war against it, but now the Spirit is really working on you to get this squared away. Be aware that it may be that you just don't have as much time as you think you do. And just because in the past, you can linger with these things and be sort of lukewarm with it, doesn't necessarily mean that the consequences are going to be the same anymore. Because as things do start to speed up, I believe that that's the reason why the Spirit, I know I see the Spirit within me testifying, hey, don't play with this. Okay, don't play with this. You don't have a lot of time. Okay, you don't have a lot of time. I get that message from the Spirit quite often. Where He'll tell me, don't play with this. Okay, don't be half-hearted here. Take this seriously. Heed my warning. Be obedient. Because there will be consequences. And then the pace at which the Spirit moves it seems slower, much slower sometimes. Scripture talks about this, right? That a day with the Lord, I think He says it's like 1,000 years. And He also says 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. Lord, I think this is in Peter. Time just, it moves differently with the Spirit, because the only way I could explain this, the flesh likes to do a lot of stuff that's useless. It's like work, 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 and not get anywhere. Whereas the Spirit moves slower but with pinpoint accuracy. So it can seem like nothing's happening, or things are moving more slowly, but in actuality, the effectiveness of the Spirit gets, I don't even know how to explain it, but way more done in just an instant. So even though it's the Spirit's moving slower, it may seem like, because of the pinpoint accuracy and effectiveness of the Spirit, you can have a lifetime worth of work done in just an instant. So, I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but that's a big difference
the timing of the Holy Spirit. You see this with Jesus and Lazarus, right? He waits and Lazarus is already dead and it looks like nothing's happening or he's moving really slow, right? But then, obviously, once he arrives, Lazarus is raised from the dead, so it's irrelevant, right? How long it took, because when the Spirit moves, even though he moves slower and it looks like nothing's going on, it just, you know, obviously it takes an instant and everything's transformed.
So that's why patience is so key, because your flesh will never understand this. As a matter of fact, it'll be at war against this.
All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we offer our hearts wholeheartedly to you. And just like the walls of Jericho, we ask you to bring down the walls of our heart, our hardened heart. And we ask you to come in and set afire everything that is in opposition to you. Help us to remember what happened in the Promised Land, where everything that was not wiped out was a snare unto them. Help us, Lord, to take heed, lest we also fall. Father, we ask, Lord, for you to set fire to our hearts, into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Set fire to everything that is in opposition to you, just like you said in the book of Corinthians. Tearing down strongholds, wiping out everything that is in disobedience to you, so that our heart may be in full subjection to you and love you completely, just like you commanded us to love you with all our heart. If you're not saved, I just pray that you will take a leap of faith, believe that Jesus is God and that he died and was raised from the dead. And if you believe in him, you too will be raised from the dead and inherit eternal life. Just repent and become born again. Just become born again. Have faith. Believe in him and receive a new life. Ask all these things, you Father, your Son, Jesus' name.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.
Inflated prices for new and used cars. At Volkswagen Clear Lake, every new car will be sold for $500 under MSRP during our deflation sale. Plus, we have used cars in every wee budget. Get to Volkswagen Clear Lake for deflated prices. Plus, we want your car, so we're willing to pay more than market average for it. Upgrade your ride and save money during our deflation sale. Visit vwofclearlake.com.
Financing through VCIOAC. See dealer for details.
Other banks go out of their way to make redeeming credit card rewards needlessly complicated, like how they require minimums or force you to use your rewards before reaching some arbitrary expiration date. But Discover isn't like that. With Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time, so you'll never have to jump through hoops. Unless you're like a trapezist, then by all means, go right ahead. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply.